This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. This is Wells Tech, episode 375 for January 13th, 2015. My name is Martin Spriggs, one of your hosts for this weekly show. We run each and every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Central Time. Show about technology, ministry, where those two intersect, where those two meet. We have a good time talking about tech, but all for a great reason, and that is because we have a Savior who has asked us to share that precious message with everybody and through whatever means possible. And that means, Sally Draper, technology. How are you?
I'm great, Martin. Happy to join you here on the Wells Tech Podcast for episode 375. Here we are in our eighth year of podcasting, and I spoke with someone today about how valuable our archive is to us, how much we've learned along the way in the past 7 years, and how wonderful it is to be able to share that as congregations and schools delve into different types of technology in their various ministry settings. So we're doing it for you guys. We're learning along the way, and we certainly welcome your feedback and your input on the show on a regular basis. That's how we do what we do.
If you join us live at that 4 o'clock time slot, you can participate in the conversation. There is a Q&A available through Google Hangouts where you can ask a question or make a comment, and if we see it, we'll bring it up on the show. That's a great way to make this more interactive, although we always welcome your participation in other ways, by sending us emails, leaving us voicemails, going to the show notes page. There's just lots of ways to get connected, and Sally, that's the neatest part. I think about this show, it's that we have an audience, we have people who want to join the conversation, so that is the way to do it. And that archive that you talked about is truly amazing. Almost eight years worth of stuff. And you could, if you wanted to, go back through all of that. You could go back 8 years, listen to that very first show, read about the things that we posted there. Kudos to you for keeping all that going. That's an awesome resource.
That's my brain, pretty much. So
not that eight-year-old technology is going to be real helpful anymore, but it's kind of fun. We did have a listener who actually did go through back all, you know, through all those episodes, listen to all of them back to back to back. That's a labor of love.
That's right. Shout out to Noah Georgeson, one of our Wells Tech Hall of Famers, for that effort. Yeah.
So what are we talking about today? We're on our book day, aren't we?
That's right. New listeners to Wells Tech may not be aware, Martin, that every school year, we tackle a book project together, and we choose a book. We've done all different types. We've done education-focused. We've done presentation-type. We've done social media books, all different areas where technology can help ministry. And this year's book selection is a book called What's Best Next? Happen to have a hardcover copy right here on my desk. And it's written by Matt Perman. And Matt actually takes a different perspective on productivity. I think probably the most popular productivity system out there is something called Getting Things Done, or GTD, it's referred to often. It's done by David Allen, and he has a whole company and a whole speaking circuit around getting things done and those techniques, and it's excellent, excellent process. But it's not motivated by the gospel. I would say that there's not a mention of the gospel in David Allen's productivity tool set. Sure. And Matt takes that perspective in his book, the gospel motivation. And I think he does a great job with that.
It's not to say that GTD can't be used by a Christian, because it certainly can be repurposed. And I've taught it through different classes, workshops, and obviously put the stewardship spin on it, but that's exactly what Matt does in his book. And that's what probably the first half of the book was, is really why is it that we care about productivity, and that's, you know, the love of our Savior and His commission or Great Commission to for us to love others. So that's really the genesis for jumping into these latter chapters of the book. So.
Right. He's all about almost substituting the word productivity for the word service, in that as we serve others, we become more and more productive in the process. So just gives you a different outlook on your own productivity goals and that kind of thing. And speaking of goals, the section before this, what we covered in December, was all about kind of high-level goals and visions and missions and things like that. In this section, it's titled Architect. He's looking more at the day-to-day working structure of your productivity system. So he's going to delve into how to establish workflows and those kind of things to make it through your day in a productive manner. Yep. What do you think of this section, Martin?
I found this very practical. There were a couple other chapters, as I mentioned, as we were going through previous ones, that were maybe a little bit overcooked, became a little bit repetitive. I get it. Here are a couple of ideas that I actually was able to grab a hold of and put in my my routine, which is really the point of this whole section of architecting your life or your day or your week that would allow some of the principles, and he's not totally anti-GTD, but some of these GTD principles, some of these next actions and some of the abilities that it gives you to be productive, and kind of wedging them in a structure that you can actually get things done. You can actually find the time to do what's best next and make some good decisions. So I think chapter 14, I think we're just dealing with two chapters, 14 and 15 maybe. 14 was setting up your week. So he's taking a look at a week at a time. One quote that I highlighted, he said, the sentence reads, "My solution for a while was to organize them," speaking of next actions or lists, "in different ways. It wasn't a long-term solution." So he's kind of overwhelmed by just the amount of work that he had to do, didn't kind of know how to structure it. So that's when I realized that just having a catalog of the things I do is not enough. I also needed to have some sort of routine or framework into which everything fit. I needed time to work on my action list. A basic but flexible schedule for the work provides this time, and that's the missing component. So he, you know, kind of bought into the GTD thing, got it all working like it was supposed to, but the one thing that he found missing was, where do I find the time to actually execute on these next actions? So.
Yep, and in the book, he actually goes through the process of setting up something he calls his time map for the week. And I actually created a time map, and I'll have a link in the show notes if anyone wants to download a PDF version to kind of fill in the blanks yourself. But he basically segmented out every single day of the week and every single time slot from 5 in the morning till midnight. And some of them he actually put sleep in those slots. Hopefully we'll get a little bit of sleep in the process. But he was able to break down his week into chunks of time and you know, schedule time for exercise or for family or for whatever it may be into that big picture look at his week. And that's something he advocates you do. I personally haven't done that yet. I've looked at it and I've given it some thought, but that was a real hard jumping off point for me. I have a hard time thinking that my week could actually be broken down into chunks like that.
Yep. This is not anything new. In fact, at the seminary, anybody that's listening, that whoever had Pastor or Professor Valesky, heard him talk about breaking your day up into three parts. So you had morning, afternoon, and evening sessions, because in a pastor's schedule, at least, that evening is sometimes gobbled up. So there's, you know, there's things that you plug in there with evening meetings and such, or visitations and things. So this whole grid concept is not anything new. But I think his point is, lay out a structure, think through it, find those parts of your day that you can kind of identify as places to get things done, and then carve them into your calendar, which in GTD principles is also very important, where that calendar is kind of the hardscape of your day, where you say, this I'm blocking out and nothing is really going to infringe on that. It's not kind of a list of, I hope to get this done during 8 to 9. It's, I'm going to get this done from 8 to 9. And if you can't, then you got to find a different place. So it's important to kind of treat that as more sacred territory. He has a number of points throughout this chapter in this section. Number one is people work best from routines, not lists. So there is a difference between having these to-do lists and having a routine where you can take some actionable items against that list. Number two, a basic schedule helps keep you from massive overload. He says he speaks from experience, so he can kind of figure out how much he can get done in a particular time period. Then he says a basic schedule enables you to integrate all of your roles. We talked about roles, I think, last month, where there's different hats that you need to wear. So, you know, maybe a time slot on Saturday morning is going to be filled with a different role than a time slot on Monday morning. So it's important to kind of keep that in mind. And I think finally he says a basic schedule enables rather than hinders creative thinking, because some of the knocks on the structure, you know, like that list that you showed, Sally, was that, hey, that's going to box me and I can't go with the flow. I can't be creative in that kind of boxed-in structure.
You know, one thing he points out as he's talking about setting up your schedule is that to kind of imagine your schedule like a closet, and your closet only has so much room, and if you need to put more clothes in your closet, you got to make space for that. You got to take things out. And I kind of like that analogy as I was thinking through different blocks of time. There's only so much time in the day, and you know, having those blocks maybe makes you a little more focused on what you're trying to fit in that section of time.
Yep, very hard to build another closet.
Get a storage unit, huh?
Yeah, that's right. The next chapter was what I really found intriguing and very pragmatic for me and helpful, and that's entitled Creating the Right Routine. So the chapter 14 was talking about the importance of routines. Chapter 15 was talking about creating the right routines. And he says there are six core routines. And his first one, interestingly enough, and he said this, your mileage may vary because not everybody's a morning person, but for him, get up early. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting thing. And again, that's not for everybody, but that's something that I actually struggle with, because I'm not a super early morning person. But after reading the chapter and kind of thinking through where am I going to stuff this stuff during the day, my days are so filled with a lot of things that I don't have a lot of control over, mostly meetings that I sit in and conversations that I need to have throughout the day, that there really is no other option than for me to get up a little bit earlier, which I did. And what I've done did two things, Sally. So I get up earlier. So in my case, I get up at 5 each morning and, you know, shower and brush your teeth and have breakfast and all that stuff. But that 5 to about 6:30 in my morning, toward the latter half of that, that's my devotion time. So I'm doing, I'm using the Wells mobile app, of course, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. So I read or listen to today's devotion as narrated by Mike Hintz every morning as I'm eating breakfast or making breakfast. The 3-year Bible reading, and I'm listening to that as I'm actually making my lunch for the day. And then I have probably about 20 to 30 minutes left over before I have to walk out the door to get to work by 7. And that time is spent in kind of reading other scripture, reading the verse of the day, and journaling. We've talked about journaling before. So in that hour and a half, I feel that, you know, I've gotten obviously ready for the day, but I've spent, and then prayer, of course. I've spent some good time in God's Word or with God's Word and in conversation with Him before I head out the door to get to work. So this whole get up early thing has really helped structure that part of the day, and I really feel better going off to work with all that behind me.
Kind of sets the mode for the rest of your day. You've framed it correctly.
Yep.
So
then his, Then the second core routine I've also adopted, and that's a daily workflow. What did you think of that section, Sally?
I like the idea of having some concentrated time in your schedule to get things done that you think are the most important things that need to be addressed. And I think that was kind of the point. You want to stay on top of your email and those kind of things, but then you have some really dedicated time. And a lot of times, it isn't that hard to finish up on some projects if you can just free your mind up to be focused on it. And
right.
I think that's what his point is.
He said there are four core tasks in that daily, what he calls that daily workflow. Plan your day, so looking at your calendar, looking at your tasks. Execute your workflow, which he says including processing your email to zero, so you're getting through your communication during that daily workflow. Do your main daily activity, so whatever the important parts are of that day, maybe front load those, and then do some next actions or major project work. So I implemented this part as well. So when I get to work from 7 to 8:30, I have that blocked out Monday through Friday on my calendar where I do not schedule or try not to schedule any meetings or take phone calls or whatever. I mean, I will take an occasional phone call or a walk-in or whatever. But on my calendar, it's I try and protect that. And I've only been doing this for a couple weeks now, but I really like what it has done to my day, where I can look at my calendar, I can get through my email, I can start on a few important tasks and get ready for some of the meetings that I have during the day in that 7 to 8:30 time frame. And I feel better, and I feel more prepared and more productive throughout the day because I've spent that time kind of focusing on what's important and making sure that I'm not just kind of going from task to task and reacting to things as they come at me during the day. So that daily routine has really I think, amped up a little bit more what I can get done even before 8:30, and then the rest of the day is kind of how things come and, you know, attending meetings and all that kind of stuff.
All right, so I have a question for you. Do you only look at your email that once a day, or do you have set times during the day where you look at email so it doesn't interrupt you all day long?
I'm still working on that, and I've done that for quite a while. I've tried to structure it where I do it only 3 or 4 times a day, where I treat it more like a task. But I can say by 8:30, I process it to zero, and that kind of empowers me to go off and do other things. And because I've got so many meetings during the course of the day, I'm not checking email usually during those meetings, so it's kind of forced into, you know, little crevices during the day where I will check and respond to email. But when I'm doing it, I do practice that GTD principle of if I can answer or deal with the email in 2 minutes or less, I will do that. But if it takes me 2 minutes or more, I stuff it in a folder or some other system where I can come back to it and deal with it when I have more time. So I try not to live in email, but process it just like a task or a project certain times during the day. How about you?
Well, that's an area of self-discipline I need to get better at. And I think part of it has to do with your work responsibilities. Like, there are certain things I need to be very responsive to. And so it's hard for me to turn it off and be focused on other things because I need to respond in a timely manner when certain things come up. So that's a juggling act. And it's self-discipline, I think. You know, to be a knowledge worker these days, which is what our pastors and teachers are, you know, relying on their brains to do the right thing, to do what's best next. You have to have a lot of discipline. You have to, you know, having a system like this and the suggestions that Matt makes in this section definitely are worth investing in and doing in a very systematic, structured way to develop some of that discipline.
Yeah. He makes a couple other good points just to kind of close out our conversation, some of the other core principles here. And he does mention prayer and scripture, which is really important. Where does that fit within your day? Reading and development, so you need time to kind of advance your whatever skill set it is that you need to apply to whatever it is you're doing, so you do that with excellence. And then the last point he makes in this section is rest. And I found that I am Before I was getting up between 5:30 and 6, now I'm getting up at 5, and I find that by 10 o'clock, my day is pretty much over. If I stay up much beyond that, and I will stay up for the, you know, the evening news or whatever, the central time that starts at 10. I'm not good for much at that point. So I really need to kind of get my head on the pillow, you know, shortly after 10:30, or once that alarm rings at 5 o'clock, I'm struggling to kind of peel myself off the sheets and be productive that early in the morning. So that's really critical.
Yeah, he threw in a few other routines to consider, just some extra things like obviously daily exercise is important. He mentioned a weekly family night. He said to schedule a day for things you don't like to do. How about that, Martin? I'd be really motivated to skip that day. Anyway, have people over for lunch after church, camping with your kids, you know, just some different things that are worth working into.
Live life, yeah, absolutely. So you don't have to, again, be so boxed in with this routine that you're not living life. But.
And then his concluding statements in the last section of this chapter have to do with excellence. And he says, you know, it's great to have structure and to have routine, but excellence happens when you go beyond your schedule. So basically, competence is doing what you need to do. Excellence is doing more than you're supposed to do. Getting up, you know, getting into the next level where you do the extra touch or whatever. So
And he did say that you need to obviously find what works best for you, and that's totally true. I get that. I mean, he referenced an individual who got most of his quality thinking and working time done, after 10 p.m. at night. That kind of the 10-2 sweet spot for that person. And I've known a lot of people working in technology. There's all kinds of crazy hours that developers have and engineers have, and even working here in the Synod office. There was somebody who worked here that didn't come in or didn't really get going until 10 a.m. You know, he just was not a morning person, but stayed, 6-7 o'clock at night. And, whatever works. So, however God has wired you up, that's what you maybe need to figure out and leverage that. So.
Just a quick mention, Martin, that Matt has a blog for What's Best Next, and I found. How to Get Things Done in a Gospel-Driven Way, What's Best Next in 500 Words, where he kind of summarizes his book and the different steps that are there. And he said, if you only take 5 productivity practices away from this book, and he walks through that, and the fifth one is the core tactic. Plan your week every week. Then as things come up throughout the day, ask, is this what's best next? Then either do that right away, or if you can't, slot it into your calendar or action list that you are confident you will refer back to at the right time. So really, the book really boils down to this plan that he's talking about in this section.
Yep. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, Sally, the next section is going to be the R.
Yep. R. Are we pirates? R stands for reduce. It says free up your time for what's most important. So this is actually getting rid of stuff. That would be a good thing if you could get rid of things. And he tells you actually some creative ways to reduce.
Say no. I'm sure that conversation will come up. We're sometimes bad at that. But saying no to one thing is being able to say yes to something else.
Yep.
All right. So that's going to be next month, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm really keyed about how it's going so far, though. So.
Good deal.
What's next? What's best next for us, Sally?
Well, actually, Martin, normally we close our show every week with a featured video, but I thought I'd bump it up in the docket a little bit today and talk about our featured video. It's a video called Blessed. Let's see if I can share my screen. You can see a little screenshot of it. It's a YouTube video. We have a Wells Tech presentation and teaching playlist that we added this video to. So this might be appropriate for Bible class on outreach, because that's what the focus of this video is. And the reason I kind of bumped it up in the schedule, we normally have interviews at this time slot, and I don't have an interview to share, but I did talk to Ben Champion, who's the man behind the Blessed video. Ben is a member of Beautiful Savior in Marietta, Georgia, and I just wanted to learn a little bit more about this. One of my friends shared it on Facebook, and I knew it had some Wells ties to it, and thought it would be interesting to talk to Ben a little and hear more about the story behind it. Ben told me that he has a background in film and video, and he normally is a very meticulous person. He said he also writes music, and when he writes anything, so if I write an email, it takes erasing it and redoing it multiple times. I'm very conscientious. But the idea for this short film came to him, and he actually wrote the entire script in one night, which he thought was pretty amazing. That was not his normal mode of operation at all. He said he really felt like it was a gift from God, that he had this idea and he wanted to put it down. And then the whole project came together, and he pretty much recorded, it's about an 18-minute video, this short film with a zero budget. So all the actors that are part of the film donated their time to the project, weren't paid to be part of the film at all. That he's, like I said, got these film industry ties there in Marietta area, and pulled together the crew that were the actors. Some, at least one person from his congregation helped him with the filming, and he did all the post-production stuff himself. The park and there's a hot dog stand that's included in the video. Those were free for him to use as well. So really just a great, everybody kind of pitched in to make it happen, it sounds like. So he's excited about the video and hoping that it can reach more people and obviously spread the good news. The premise of the video is a homeless man in a park, or somebody that looks to be homeless or whatever, a little bit downtrodden, picks up a $20 bill that's flown out of a girl's purse and hands it back to her. So he doesn't steal it or keep it from himself. He chases her down and gives her money back. And that made an impression on her. And she comes back the next day and asks him why he did that. And through the course of their interaction, he has the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel with her. And I think it's a great film to watch maybe in Bible class or for motivating an evangelism team to go out and share the good news, whatever it may be. Ben told me that he hopes to make more of these shorts. He wants it to be a series with this evangelistic premise in all of the different videos that he's envisioning for the series. So again, just hats off to Ben for investing his time and for all those that were a part of it. I think it's an excellent outreach tool.
Yep, and I think this could be somewhat inspirational for other short, maybe budding filmmakers. Mm-hmm. This was a low or no budget offering. He probably had some decent camera, but I could see this as a youth group project or something that a congregation could take on, or something similar to this, and just to give it a try, and just having going through the exercise of maybe writing up a script and trying to get people to work on it is a good, I think a good use of time, and who knows what will come out. So that's cool.
Yeah, you can come to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and watch the entire video there. And as I said, it's on our presentation teaching playlist on YouTube as well. So if you want to find it in the future, you can just check out that playlist.
Awesome. Good find. And thanks for taking the time to interview him.
That's yeah, great guy.
Addition. Yeah. Let's move on to ministry resources. Have some great news to share on that front. In ministry resources, we recently, in late December, relaunched or made a kind of a big update to the Wells mobile app. And it is out on a number of different platforms. And one of those platforms, I'm showing iTunes here, those of you that are watching at home. It's version 2.0, and I just actually released a minor point release up there last night just to fix a couple bugs and improve some readability of fonts, those kinds of things. But the app has been totally redesigned. Similar content, although it's a little easier to consume videos and audio files can be played right within the app rather than going out to the web to play those. The app is available on both iOS and Android, and one of the additions I was able to make this time around was it's now available on Kindle products. So the Kindle Fire, that whole line of product is available there as well. So getting some traction. I think there's probably 15, 16,000 downloads or it's in use at this point. Which is great. I'd never expected those kinds of numbers. One thing that you can do, first of all, if you don't have it, grab it. Just search for Wells Mobile. Another thing you can do is write a review, because obviously the more positive reviews, that's going to maybe increase the likelihood that somebody searching around for these apps might be able to download it, and we can spread the gospel that way. We have opportunity to do that in lots of different ways, but this certainly would be one. It's available for phones and tablets, and has all great content there, devotional nature, other kinds of things, educational. You've got, of course, the old standbys of call lists and those kinds of things. The Synod Yearbook is also available in digital form. So you can grab that through the app and do a search on congregations or schools or call workers through the app as well. So take a look at it, and if you haven't tried it in a while, please do so and give us some feedback. We would love to make improvements. I've got some plans for doing lots of other things with it, but it's kind of a nights and weekends kind of project for me, so just be patient. But the Wells Mobile app is out there.
Do you have a slot on your calendar for mobile app development, Mark?
No, I probably need to do that. I've got a couple other kinds of projects like that I need to slot in there as well.
Special project slot, huh?
Yeah, I had a nice conversation with a lady who called up the other day and was making some suggestions, which were great suggestions. She's having problems, so I think she was using Kindle, in fact, and was really enjoying it, but was not even a Wells member. So she had just stumbled on the app in the App Store, downloaded it, and is listening to today's devotion, reading the verse of the day, and kind of heartwarming to hear that that reach is going beyond the friendly confines of our Wells borders, which is the whole point. So
that's awesome. And what if I wanted to listen or watch the Wells Tech podcast? Would that be possible?
That would be on there, both in audio and video format. So
very good.
Good plug. Good catch. Let's move on to news and tech.
Well, this news and tech has to do with our friend Digo. For those of you that aren't familiar with Digo, it's basically a place to store links. So you can organize links to different websites in many different ways. And one of the things that you could do before was to add links to something they called List. But actually, I guess with the new year, it was out with the old and in with the new. They announced now that they have something they're calling Outliner, which to me seems a lot like their previous product called List, but it's not a free product, unfortunately, or it's very limited in its free capacity. So when in the past we could have unlimited numbers of lists where you could group things together on a list, now you have to use Outliner if you want to create anything new in a group of that fashion. And so there's pricing out there for different levels of Digo. Obviously, they got to pay the bills as well. And perhaps this is one way that's going to generate some more revenue for them to keep afloat. We like Digo a lot here on Wells Tech, and we use it for a group, and currently the groups continue to be free. I don't think have a large number of groups, but as long as we just have our one, then we can keep going for the right price, which is nothing. But it's interesting to see this change and the fact that List or something we've relied on in the past. Martin, I know I put them together when I'm doing presentations, and I'll often share
a
list
to support. I'm trying not to hand out a lot of handouts, and this is a great way to give them just one link they can go to get all the online resources. I do it for my MLC class, too.
Mm-hmm. So maybe it's time to build a website with all those links on it or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or perhaps
You can use tags. So that's an alternative. If you are a Digo user, you know that there is a tagging system of sorts. But I don't know. You can use tags right when you do the bookmark itself. So
mm-hmm.
you just have to remember the tag because I don't know that there's a drop down of tags. So that's one of the downsides of tagging. But you can send people to a collection of your own tags.
Tags are pretty easy to remember. If you can just remember a few characters, then a list pops up that matches with what you're typing. Mm-hmm. So I just started a new class, and so I thought I better think of a specific tag for this class that I'm taking. So as I come across links and things, I'll use that tag consistently, hopefully. It's all about remembering and enforcing your structure, you know, being disciplined. I think it kind of ties back to our productivity conversation.
Yep. But, and if you are a serious user, maybe you want to consider, you know, getting a premium plan. It's not going to put you in the poorhouse for 10 outliners, $5 a year. For a standard, which would be unlimited outliners, it's $40 a year. So it's it might be well worth it if it is an integral part of your workflow, which saves you time. So it might be money well spent.
Sure.
All right. Let's
move on to our
picks of the week.
I have a pick, and
I have
an honorable
two
mention.
Again.
That's right.
This is like a New Year trend.
That's right. I do have two because one just kind of popped up in front of me, and I thought it was worth a mention. But I'm going to start with this first one. It's from our friends at SlideShare, which is a popular place to upload your presentations for sharing on the web. So you put your presentation up here and then you can embed it on your own website or people can search and find it on SlideShare or whatever. So apparently one of the things that they do at the end of the year is they analyze the best SlideShares of the year, and they've put together, believe it or not, a SlideShare featuring the best SlideShares of the year. Interesting stat, they've had 4.2 million slide decks uploaded in 2014. So very popular site in terms of slides. So you can just look through and there's different categories, best slides to reference in your own deck, must reads for business leaders, whatever it may be. There were a couple that I found that I thought might be interesting in particular for our listeners. The first one's done by Nancy Dworday, and it's basically a new way to deliver kind of an ebook using a slide deck. She calls it Slide Docs, and she actually wrote an ebook about that delivery mechanism. So she has a website, and she has a version of it in PowerPoint on her website that she kind of plugs. If you go get it from her website, the table of contents is interactive, where it isn't here on SlideShare. But obviously, she got a lot of coverage here on SlideShare and was one of their more popular SlideShares. So she's actually demonstrating this technique here in the slide deck where she's actually written a book and put it on PowerPoint slides. So I thought that was interesting. I know we've talked about Gar Reynolds and Presentations In. Nancy Dworday, I would say, was right up there with him in terms of respect, in terms of presentation ideas and
yep.
standards and things.
I recommend her book all the time, Slideology.
Mm-hmm. So here's a new book for you, Martin, Slide Docs. You have to go read the SlideShare.
Yeah, kind of an ebook approach, ebook approach that kind of plays on the visual. But I think more and more we're seeing these little ebooks that are shorter form. Not the long form, but just quick bites and recognizing that our attention spans are getting shorter. So using visuals along with text, hoping to get the same point across versus trying to narrate somebody through a topic. So I think that's really that's probably what she's after.
And perhaps, you know, a church might have an ebook format of sharing the gospel or some
yep.
particular emphasis that they have currently. And, you know, by making it in this format, then they could embed it on their website. It becomes more of a multimedia item that people can consume in a unique format. So, yeah, cool idea. Another one I thought worth mentioning is from a guy named Ian Lurie. He made 5 lessons for entrepreneurs. And I know we aren't necessarily entrepreneurs in our jobs, but we do have, you know, an important job that we need to consider, you know, how we attack it. I'm talking pastors and teachers, that we need to believe in why it is we're doing this and what we're doing, and there's other techniques that are outlined in this Lessons for Entrepreneurs. So thought it might have some relevance with our audience as well. A couple of more worth mentioning. This one's 3 Ways to Fix a Horrible PowerPoint. It's taken from a book by Seth Godin, who's a real big internet
one
guy.
One of the other key guys here.
Marketing.
Presentation technology, too.
And then finally, The Classroom of the Future by Dean Shersky. So for our teachers in the audience, and these aren't short slide decks. This one has 188 slides, but he's taking a look at what his ideas are about the classroom in the future, and he says the future starts now, obviously. And so perhaps this is one that would be appropriate for our teachers to review. So just a look at some of the must-read slide shares of 2014. There were a bunch more included in the presentation there. If you want to look through it yourself, you might find some more that are of interest to you. An honorable mention, and I got off my screen share. Not sure if you guys will be able to see this, but I just noticed today something different in my Chrome browser. I don't know if your Chrome browser looks like this, Martin, but all of a sudden I saw my name up here on the very top area near where you minimize and maximize and close the window. There's my name sitting there. Didn't see that yesterday, I don't believe. When I click on it, it shows me how I'm logged into my Chrome browser, and it'll actually let me switch to a different account with my Chrome login from that little name drop-down that's available. There's also a link here to go incognito. So I think this is something new with the Chrome browser, possibly allowing multiple logins a lot easier with this this name that's up here in the top bar. Do you have a name in your top bar, Martin?
I was just checking, and I do.
It's a surprise for you.
So I'm supposing, I mean, I'm hoping that it's going to remember all the different. I've got like 6 different Google accounts at this point, and I'm constantly switching back and forth depending on what I'm trying to do. But it's now, I'm hoping that that screen that pops up when you clicked on your name, and then you click on switch person, it comes up with a menu of people that you can choose. So,
so normally when you're logged into your Chrome browser and you go to Gmail, it knows, oh, you're logged into your browser. I'm gonna serve up the Gmail account associated with the login. And like you said, sometimes you have to switch accounts quite a bit. And you know, maybe you switch to something else, but when you go to Google Plus, it doesn't remember that. Or when you go to your calendar, it switches back to what you're logged in as with your browser. So this might be a way to make a more global change to how you're logged in easier there at the browser level, kind of at a higher level. So we'll see. I searched for an article about it or an announcement from Google and didn't find anything. So I think it's really new. And maybe, you know, we'll see a little bit more of a product announcement soon.
Okay. All right, my pick, Sally, is something I've been using for a long time, and I just never thought of making it a pick. So this is something that's been, this little thing has been around the world, literally. It is a USB hub, and this is a little bit older version. There's a newer one out, but it's the Diamond 3.0 hub, USB hub, with a gigabit Ethernet adapter. So they've combined a hub, so it's got 3 USB 3 ports, so it supports the higher speed USB, and it also has an Ethernet port. So once you plug this into your Mac or PC, it downloads a little software driver, and I've not been on a laptop that hasn't recognized it successfully. It self-powers, although you can plug it in for power, but I've not seen a need to do that. And then, so you've got expanded your port, your maybe one port on your Ultrabook, whatever it is, to three, and you also have Ethernet. So a lot of the Ultrabooks, the thin laptops that you can get today, don't have very many ports. The Surface, for instance, that I had been using, just had one port, one USB 3 port, and so that was not enough. So that was actually the genesis behind getting one of these, and it also required a dongle for Ethernet. So I'm carrying all these things around and still not getting many ports, so this little guy takes care of that for me. So I did a little research and thought, well, what are these guys running today? And they've updated it, so it's actually a little bit smaller. Again, it's from Diamond Multimedia, and I ran across the same thing. It's a little bit longer now, so probably a little bit easier to put in the bag or pocket. And but same concept. And I found it on Amazon, I believe, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes for $29.99. So it's not real inexpensive, but when you think about all that it does, it can replace and is probably much cheaper than what you'd buy from the manufacturer for some of these Ultrabooks, Dell or Asus or even Microsoft, for the adapters, where it does a couple of different things for you. So works flawlessly. I've never had any issue with it. Just throw it in the bag and becomes kind of like a little docking station for you.
Pretty cool. Yep. All right. We should move on. Wells Insider.
Wells Insider's next.
I want to just throw up on the screen real quick. The forwardinchrist.net blog seems to be something new that's coming out of Forward in Christ, specifically for parents. They've got heart-to-heart parent conversations featured there. And I really was drawn to this because there's a Wells Tech Hall of Famer represented on this blog, and that would be Pastor Rob Gunther from up at Grace in Kenai, Alaska. He's got a really cool article about how they manage technology with their children, how they control their screen time, particularly on their iPad, I think. And he kind of walks them through some different rules. Have you played outside today? Have you spent time with your brothers? Have you told mom how pretty she is? So, you know, important stuff that they take care of before they get screen time there in the Gunther household. I sent Rob a kudos, congratulations, and he said the congratulations really go to his wife, Becky, because it was her idea. So anyway, got some good stuff going up there in Alaska, and just wanted to do a quick shout-out and point people to the new blog.
I enjoyed the article as well. I read the same one. By the way, you can get to that blog from the Wells mobile app, the new version. So just grab that, click on Heart to Heart, and you've got it right on your phone or tablet.
Awesome. Jumping ahead then, there's some Wells Insider information that we want to share today, particularly that there's an interactive faith Bible study going on. And these are the Bible studies that are done in real time, typically on Wednesday evenings. This one actually started last Wednesday, January 7th, but I'm sure you can jump right into it this week and not be too far behind. The title of the Bible study is Breaking the Cycle with Grace. A study of the book of Judges, and I found a little explanation as I was diving around through things today. It says, it has been said that nearly every doctrine of the Bible can be found in the biblical narrative contained in the book of Judges. That fact alone merits a deeper look. And yet, how often have we read, let alone studied, this action-packed book of God's grace? In our lives, we go through cycles of up and downs, ups and downs. We think God is pleased one moment and that he's not the next. Come and break the cycle of uncertainty with grace as we study the book full of God's love and patience. So, sounds like a good Bible study happening Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Central. So, use the link wells.net/interactive-faith to find the right spot.
Yep, it's a good study. Pastor Dave Scharf from up in Greenville, Wisconsin, is leading the study this time. Does a great job. I sat in on the last one, so take advantage of that. And just want to give a quick another mention for Wells Tech Conference 2012. If you haven't marked it on your calendar, do so now, July 9th through 11th. We're getting sponsors. We've already nailed down almost all of our session speakers and workshop presenters and keynotes. Going to be a great conference. Wells.net/WellsTechConf, C-O-N-F. Registration will open February 1st. And if you go to that website, you will see a link right now that you can sign up to receive more information when that registration opens, or come back on early February and reserve your spot. It's a great bargain, and you get an early bird special if you sign up before April 1st, I want to say.
I think you're right. On or before.
All right. Very good. Let's move on to community feedback.
Sure. I'll just make a quick mention, Martin, that there's lots going on over on the Wells Tech listserv. So if you haven't been there lately, you might want to check out the listserv, because they're talking about member management software, accounting software solutions, and even some projection software solutions. And it's really neat to see our community of listeners and techies out there all across Wells contributing their ideas when people have questions. They're really there to help, and you always get good feedback from the Wells Tech listserv. So check it out. Over on DIGO, our friend Jason Schmidt tagged the Socrative Garden. I always have trouble with that word. And Socrative is a web-based software where you can actually quiz your students and get real-time responses. So they have a really excellent blog, and I think Jason just wanted us to know that it was out there, and perhaps you might want to add it to your RSS feed reader or whatever, so that you keep up with announcements and things, good ideas that they share here on the blog. I noticed they also have a Pinterest page, Martin, and so if you're a Socrative fan, you might want to follow them on Pinterest. There's one that's all about all of their different video tutorials they have available. You can come here and find them all served up Pinterest style. Lots of other good stuff here on Pinterest as well. Also from DIGO, I tagged an article called 5 Gadgets Your Church Should Be Using. Yeah. I thought this was an interesting catch headline for me. I wanted to see what they recommended, and it was an interesting list. They definitely said you should be using your sound system, potentially video monitors for effective visual media. Credit card processors made the list. Martin, when we were out in Las Vegas, probably a year and a half ago now, we saw credit card processors in the narthex area where people could give their offering using the credit card machine that was available there. They also mentioned that you should be providing online tithing capabilities. So if you don't have a way for people to give online, maybe now's the time to consider that. And then finally, projectors. And certainly you could have a projector in your worship setting if that's the direction you want to go, but also projectors available for different presentations in different areas of your building, Bible class time, or whatever it may be. So 5 gadgets your church should be using. Moving on, I just want to give a quick shout out to our friend Jason Winjet. Jason has been doing some cleanup work over on the Wells Tech Wiki. So if you visit the online worship area, you'll see the fruits of his labor, and we really appreciate you spending some time and making those pages a lot better formatted. So that's awesome.
WellsTechWiki.gapps.wells.net. Correct?
That's correct. Yes, sir. I noticed over on Twitter that our friend, I want to say his name is Andy Wells, or Welly, or Van Welly, I should say, Andy Van Welly, who's a teacher down in Texas, a principal and teacher down in Texas, runs a blog called The Quotable Wells Teacher, and he has a blog post to start your school year with. It's called The 3 Greatest Words Ever Spoken. And he's referring to Christ's words from the cross, "It is finished." And he's basically just motivating you for the rest of the school year to remember that there'll be lots of challenges and rigor ahead, but it's time for us to reflect on the birth of our Savior and the life he's about to live for our sake that would accumulate in those words, "It is finished." So I think a little bit of motivation there for Wells teachers, and very well said.
Very nice.
And then finally,
it's a nice looking blog, and he's a pretty good writer.
I think he does a good job with it. Mm-hmm. Finally, as I was searching through the Twitter archives, I found a tweet from Rachel Pearson that's a little bit old that we somehow missed. And so sorry about that, Rachel. She was drawing our attention to a Chrome extension called Move It. And basically, if you install this in your browser every so often, and you can set the increment, it'll give you a little bit of things to do to move your body, so you're not just sitting at your computer or whatever. And a lot of teachers have responded in the reviews that they've installed it on their computer, and when it tells you to do something, the whole class gets up and moves a little bit. So the example they have here is hop from your left to your right foot for 10 seconds. Just a little break for your brain, little break for your body to put a little motion in your day. And so I thought that was a fun idea to use it in a classroom setting and get a little reminder to move your body.
So it's not just something Rachel does by herself. That might draw a little bit of attention. she has the whole class do it.
Right, the students join
in. That's a cool idea. I like it.
Yeah. That's what I got for community feedback for this week, Martin.
Well, good. And we would love to hear from more people in whatever format you'd like to share with, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Digo, however that happens, email. So all those links are available on our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. Please let us hear your thoughts and things that you've found in your ministry that are helpful, that might be helpful for other people as well. Sally, next week's kind of special. We're gonna be on the same
camera
stage, same time, same location, same probably frigid temperatures. In New Ulm, Minnesota, I've got a meeting up there on Thursday. So we decided that since I'm actually traveling on Tuesday at our regularly scheduled time, we're gonna do a Thursday show live from MLC, and it'll be at 4:30. So not only are we changing the day, we're changing the time, but it'll be well worth the wait. And please tune in and join us live, either there, on campus. Even I suppose I shouldn't probably speak out of turn because I have no idea where we're going to be, but definitely online 4:30 from MLC. We're going to be interviewing my nephew, Jonathan Witte, who is
talented fella.
Pardon me?
I said a talented fella.
He is. He is going to talk to us about some cool technologies that he's using on campus, a little quadcopter and a little GoPro and some Instagram work they're doing, bringing kind of MLC into the 21st century in a kind of a big way, kind of a cool way. I think it's interesting to see what he's done and helping promote the campus and some of campus life there. So join us as we talk to Jonathan next week, Thursday, 4:30 Central.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing you face-to-face. That'll be a treat.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too. Please turn up the temp a little bit, okay?
Yeah, I'll work on that.
All right. Glad everybody online joined us today, or that you downloaded us into your whatever to listen or watch us today. Thank you for doing that, and we appreciate your participation. Tell your friends that they can join us as well. That's it for this week. We will see you next week from New Ulm. Bye-bye, everybody.